You're looking for that person that you want to marry. The questions that enter into your mind is, or should have entered into your mind, is what sort of person can create this type of bond with you, this close matrimonial kind of atmosphere every day? Is it like a wedding has taken place in your life? Who is willing to understand and to accept you as you really are, to take you as you are, not to try to change you, to rearrange you, to be a stranger to you? Who is the other person that can create that safe place where you can feel protected from often the painful realities that take place in the world that you live in? Who is that person? I think as we listen to the piano concerto number 21, the second movement by Mozart, it puts us into the mood to answer those kinds of questions as we enter into the third hour of pre or possibly post-marriage counseling. I'm your radio web theme host, Pastor John Coleman, here in the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California. I'm drinking a cup of coffee, and I hope that you can get a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, and sit down with your most significant other, maybe that person that you're thinking about marrying, as you continue with me through 20 hours of post or pre-marriage counseling. Because after you ask yourself these kinds of questions, and if you really answer these questions in the proper way, trust me, my friend, you will have no difficulty in the choice and the selection that you've made. Now, let's say that you're already married. Let's say that you've already walked down the path of no return. Let's say that you have the little children around you. Did you see that picture of Karsten sleeping? It's too late. He has those sons. He has that beautiful wife. He has that life of the married man. Doesn't he look content? As a matter of fact, I'm waiting for more pictures for many of you that listen in. Possibly those of you that are planning on getting married, those of you that recently got married, and those of you that are trying to escape from the marriage ploy. Well, let's continue with our discussion, and we're going to let the second movement kind of fade out in the background as I attempt to answer these questions. How do we find such persons? That's what we're dealing with. How do we find the person that we think is going to be that person in our lives that's going to make us shine, that's going to make us feel good, that's going to fulfill us, all right? How do we find that person? Does prayer work? And I think that that's a good place to start because, you know, a lot of Christians say, well, yeah, you know, the Lord, he's going to bring that person to you. I'm going to tell you, the Lord is not even involved in this process. I mean, to a certain extent, I would say that he is because he's already told us through the word how to govern ourselves in that situation. You know, it says, don't be unequally yoked with a non-believer. So the Lord would say, don't marry a person that's not a believer if you're a believer already. So does prayer work? Do you say, Lord, please, please, please make her right for me or make him right? No, 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 no. Listen, when they were raised in the house that they were raised in, that work is finished. They are the kind of persons that they are. Salvation coming into the life of another person only equips that person for the heavenly life based upon God's standards in that person's life right now. Well, can you ask other people about this? Can you say, well, this person can let me know whether or not I'm the right person to get married. Hello, Pastor. How are you? I'm in the middle of a webcast. I'll talk to you later. All righty. My pastor friend's walking down the street. Do you ask others about this? Now, my pastor friend that lives down the street, he would say, yes, you should. You know, the pastor determines in his particular denomination. He's an apostolic pastor. He would tell me that others, how did he know I was here? The Lucy Coleman studio has a window right there. People can see me in the studio broadcasting, making a webcast. he's working his walking his German Shepherd. I usually walk my bull terrier, but not walking him today. No, don't ask other people about who you should marry. Don't ever do that, because love is a many splendor thing. Love is a many splendor thing. And it only happens between you and the other individual that you're going to marry. Do you copy other people's lifestyle? In other words, we were having this discussion in a Bible study about this particular line here, because I'm currently going through this entire series to the Anselm Bible Study people again on Wednesday. We had a packed house last night as we went over some of these things, and the conversation, trust me, was lively to say the least. Well, yeah, you look to other people as a role model. Pastor John, if you were married to Lucy for 34 years, I want to know what you were doing, what you were saying, so that I can know. No, that's not the way you find the other person, by looking at other people. Because remember, the individual that you're going to hook up with, or that you've hooked up with, has already been preconditioned to be the individual that they are. You fell in love with them, didn't you? All right. Or do we just wait and watch? No, you just can't wait and watch, because you be waiting and watching and you become an old man with gray hair and are an old woman with arthritis and keel over and fall out. Waiting and watching is not the way it's done. No. No, that's not the way you choose that soulmate, that person that's going to be with you. Do you just allow luck to rule the day? Well, I didn't get lucky the last time. Maybe I'll get lucky this time. Please, don't do that. Don't do that. As I was in the studio this morning, the trash truck was going by picking up trash cans. And, they have these automatic trash cans here in Los Angeles. You don't have to. Trash man doesn't have to get out and put the trash in it. It just has these clamps. It takes a thing. Well, you've seen it. You know the drill. Well, right before he got to my house, and I didn't have any trash out because it's just me and bro, man. Don't have a lot of trash here. So I put my trash out about once every 3 weeks, because I don't accumulate a lot of waste. I really don't. I don't eat that much. I don't use that much. But as he was using the trash truck, the little hand broke. And you should have seen the expression on his face, because he got to go into the yard, get another truck, come back out, finish his route. He's going to get off late. Saw it all on his face. Is that the way you are when you've chose poorly? Now I got to wait this out, huh? No. So luck doesn't rule the day when it comes to this. Do we go on a search mission for our helpmate? No, stop that. Going to the malls, going to the movies, going to the church, looking for, you know what? That's one of the biggest, worst mistakes that you can make, is go to church looking for a person to marry. Because it's in the church where the person puts on most of their airs. You know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. In the church, you see her brothers with her hair made up nice, with that nice dress on. That's how she lured you into the web, because she was looking like that. But then when you wake up Monday morning to go to work and she got to do something for the kids, rollers all over her head, looking all bad without makeup, never put that red dress back on. She only wore it one time to snap your wig, and she got you. So no, the luck of the draw doesn't win the day. Search missions don't work. Do we expect God to drop them off in our laps in just a little bit? I mean, all we got to do is remain faithful, and God's going to just say, here she is, here he is, boom. You know, some of you ladies are looking, oh my gosh. You look at some of these guys and they, and you know, some of these rappers, and oh man, you see their six packs, see how cool they look. They're just muscle bound, and they're driving their nice little Jaguars, and they're wearing the jewelry, and you just saying, oh, he's so gorgeous. If I had him, and the minute he opens up his mouth, oh my God. See, please. God's not going to be dropping them off in your laps like that. And if they're uneducated when you get them, they're going to be uneducated while you have them. And you're going to have to love them in their uneducatedness. You know, this is very interesting, because since I'm doing this this Mary thing. There was a friend of mine that got married. I thought he got married not too long ago. Matter of fact, two, three months ago, he got married. And his fiance said that she didn't want me to do the wedding. I've been knowing this guy for years. So he called me yesterday right before the Bible study, and he said, you guys still having Bible study? I said, yeah, if the earth is turning on its axis, we are. And he said, so what's on the agenda for tonight? I said, well, you shouldn't have to come. You just got married, man. I'm giving a Bible study for post and pre-marriage counseling. You just got married. You're on your honeymoon. You know, 2 months. What you calling me for? Guess what he told me? I got it annulled. I was knocked off my feet. I said, what? He said, I got it annulled. And he came by my house immediately, and he began to tell me, and it's not all her fault. Don't read me wrong. It is not all her fault. But here again, she lied to him. He got it annulled. He spent thousands of dollars on the wedding and everything, and he said, man, don't nobody play me like that. He got it annulled. So he was sitting in the study last night as we were going over these very things, and I noticed he was very, very calm. Because prior to him marrying her, I said to him, you need to sit in my office with that woman that you're going to marry and go through marriage counseling. But no, he's his own man. I don't need to do that. I know what I'm doing. Okay, you know what you're doing? All right. Now, ladies, I want to help you because I want to share with you two things that men want, and then I'm going to share with you two things that women want. Men want a world with fewer obstacles and more support. In this particular guy's relationship, she threw obstacles in his way every minute of the way. Guys, you need to know that if you got an obstacle deliverer, you're going to have problems for the rest of your lives with that woman. You're going to have problems with her. And remember, if she learned that from her mother, if she learned that from her moms, and if she learned that from her girlfriends that she's hanging out with, and trust me, when they hang out with their girlfriends now, and these girlfriends are men haters, okay, and the girlfriends grow up in a home with brothers that are feminized, and they practice this feminization of the male on their siblings, on their younger brothers, and in some cases, their older brothers and their mothers are in this manipulative mode. Women understand that men want a world with fewer obstacles. They don't want to marry a woman that's going to throw obstacles in their path to support them getting ahead. Now, I'm speaking primarily right now about African-American males. We have it doubly hard to make it in the business world out there. If I were a white male, it would be easier for me to get ahead in the business world. Now, when I come home, I don't want no obstacles at home. We'll get more into that as we go through these 20 hours. Well, what are you talking about? Well, see, that's an obstacle. Your tone of voice, your tonation, your disposition, your attitude is not indicative of what I want to put up with when I get home if I were a man. And don't worry, when I get down to the women, I'm going to speak for the women too, guys, because some of you are atrocious. Secondarily, ladies, what men want, they desire an elimination of negative images. Have you ever seen this image of your wife turning her back on you with her hands up in your face saying, shut up? That's a negative image. Doing that to a man, ooh, you're about to lose him. You are about to lose him. But then again, I hear from the vibes all over the country, all over the world now, women saying, well, heck, losing him is no big thing. I can make it on my own. Look how much money I'm making. I'm making $110,000 a year as compared to his $40,000. I would tell you like the Apostle Paul said, your money perish with you. Guys, you got to start using that language when your woman is making more money than you, when she thinks that she is oh my goodness. Men, you are not to be submissive to your wives. Your wives are to be submissive to you. That is a biblical pattern. Men, you are to love your wives, to care for your wives, to provide for your wives. to give loving compassion and concern for your wives and understand them and to listen to them. I believe it's 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 says, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, recognizing them as the weaker vessel, unless your prayers be hindered. So we're commanded to respect our wives and to give them their rightful place and all. But men, God did never told you to submit to the woman, ever. So ladies, they want fewer obstacles and more support. Are you throwing obstacles up in your man's way to get ahead? Are you supporting them in everything? Have you eliminated those negative images that you so easily portray because you learned that from your mama? And wait a minute, where was mama's husband? Where was he? Did you ever ask mama why she was so angry at the man that she ran out of her life? Did you ever ask mama why she tried to feminize all of your brothers? And why she monopolized on making the women strong and didn't spend too much time with the brothers? Oh my goodness, this happens all the time. Now, gentlemen, it's your turn to listen. What is it that women want? What is it that women want? A woman wants a man that she can fully trust as she submits to his loving kindness. You see what I mean? If the man expects her to submit to him, why should she submit to you if you are not one that she can fully trust? And this is a very important question here, because if she cannot fully trust you, when will she ever be able to trust you? What is that relationship all about? Why is a woman going through these terrible situations with a man? See, she wants a man that she can trust. Then she will submit to him and his loving kindness. So if she can't trust you, she's not going to submit to you, guys. And if you're married right now, and if you're, well, first let me deal with the married. If you're married right now, and that could be where a lot of your problems are coming from. She said, where have you been? And you say, oh, I was just out with Charlie. And she said, you know what? I called Charlie. And he said, he hasn't seen you for 3 days. Where have you been? Seeing her right there. Since she called Charlie, she got the goods on you. And Charlie ain't got your back. You ain't got no minutes trying to cuss him out. He ain't got your back. You lied. She can't trust you. Now, you want to give her a gift and all that kind of stuff. She, I don't want nothing from you. I got my own stuff. You see, gentlemen, you perpetuate the madness in the relationship as you're going on and on and on. Now, listen, what I'm talking, I lived for 34 years with my woman. That's why no decent woman that ain't got a husband would not want me. Because that's the only way I know how to be a husband. Lucy could trust me. All right, gentlemen, what else is it that women want? They want respect and a listening ear and a caring heart, which is full of compassion. Now, respect them, guys. Respect them when they're going off on you talking. You know how it sounds. Yep, 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 in your ear all the time, right? You go from one room to the next. What's she doing? Following you. Following him. I will follow him. Wherever he goes. That's the way it is, guys, when you're with a woman. When you're her man, you're her man. You know, I got this Staffordshire Bull Terrier here. And whatever room I go in the house, he follows me from room to room. Sets down on the hardwood floor wherever I am. That Bull Terrier loves to be where I am. He was playing so much last evening, I had to shut off the room. I shut off the light in the living room so he would jump on his little chair and go to sleep. Because he wouldn't stop playing. He had so much fun with the Bible study students. He just showed off royally. I couldn't shut him up. All I could do was turn out the lights. Sometimes, guys, that's how you shut your wife up. Turn out the lights. But they want to be respected. They want you to have a listening ear. Not for 2 or 3 minutes. Never to tell them you talk too much. Just say it quick. Get it over with. They can't say it like you guys, because guys are didactic and women are emotional. Now here's the problem. When you've grown up as a feminized male, you're emotional. You're doing all the talking and the yapping. You have a difference with your wife and she can't get a word in edgewise because you're going off. Do you know what you've done? You have copied your mother's disposition. You're acting like a female, and it's an unconscious act. I see a lot of brothers go through it when they come through the church, and I just pull them aside. Hey, look at me, look at me, look at me. And he's, what? I said, look at me, look at me. See, I'm trying to get in touch with his testosterone. I'm trying to, look at me, man, look at me, look at me. Come on, man, come on, bulldog. Calm down, man, calm down. Come on, man, come on. Come on, man. Hi, she. And he going, hi, she. I said, come on, man, stop. And then the brother hugs me. Help me, John. Help me. I said, I'm here, man. I'm here for you. It's all right. See, sometimes, guys, it takes a while for you to get out of that mode that you fell into, that your mama put you in. Takes a while to get out of it.